Good afternoon. My name is Ashley Thompson. Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about alternative ground cover management strategies and nutrient management strategies for sweet cherry. So typically in the Pacific Northwest, you'll see something like this. We have trees with a weed-free strip directly underneath them. And typically when we're thinking about managing nutrients, we're thinking about taking soil tests every 3 to 5 years and looking at what nutrients are available in the soil. And then every few years, farmers might take leaf tests. But from my experience, it's very hard to get them out there to take those leaf nutrition tests. In recent years, farmers in the Pacific Northwest have become more interested in using carbon-based mulches underneath those weed-free strips. And that's really because there's a lot of data from apples that show that in some instances, carbon-based mulches like compost can increase tree growth and also crop yield. In addition, carbon-based mulches provide numerous benefits from increasing organic matter to increasing water infiltration and also reducing erosion, which is really important for our rolling hills in the Columbia Gorge region. In addition, they're talking about intensive nutrient management applications. And this is really based on sap sampling. If you haven't heard of sap sampling, that's where usually a consultant goes out and takes leaves off the trees every 2 weeks and sends those leaves away for analysis and then measures exactly what the nutrient content of that leaf is every 2 weeks. And then based on that, you can correct what they call small changes in plant mineral nutrition with the idea that you'll improve overall quality and also plant health throughout the growing season. However, both of these things have major limitations. For one, it's price. We don't really have a great source of compost that is readily available in the Pacific Northwest, so compost can be very expensive. And if you don't have a compost spreader, you're also paying the local company to apply that compost. In addition, most of the studies in mulch are from apples or tart cherries, and changes in tree growth and also crop load are really dependent on your soil quality, your soil texture, and organic matter. And in addition, those changes in yield can take time. Many studies, you might not see these changes for 5 to 13 years. And for intensive nutrient management, it's very expensive. So every 2 weeks, you'd have to go out and sample from all of your different blocks, and it would cost $65 for each sample, and then you're shipping them to Norway if you're doing what some of my growers are doing. So it becomes really expensive very quickly, and there's not a lot of data to support sap sampling in perennial systems, and a lot of the data my farmers are coming to me with is really anecdotal, saying things like, well, it, you know, cured my bacterial canker in my sweet cherry tree. So it's all really anecdotal, and we don't have a lot of good data to support this. So I have two major questions for this research. How does mulching and intensive nutrient management affect mature sweet cherry yield and quality? We're going to be talking about pack out, which is the marketable yield, cherry size, and flesh firmness today. And also, how does mulching and intensive nutrient management affect soil quality? So physical characteristics, such as penetration, water infiltration, chemical characteristics, such as the amount of organic matter in your soil, and then biological characteristics that allow soil to remain healthy and have these nutrient transformations that are important for nutrition to the tree. I had two hypotheses. One was that mulch would improve the edaphic properties, the soil properties, but it would not affect fruit yield or quality measures in the 3 years of this study. The second hypothesis was that intensive nutrient applications would not improve edaphic properties because typically they're foliar applications, and that they wouldn't really improve fruit yield or quality measures. So we had four major treatments here. We have a control, which was a weed-free strip with a standard nutrition program. So that would be either foliar or ground-applied nutrients based on the standard methods of soil and leaf sampling, orchard mulch and compost with the standard nutrition program. So we applied that as a single application of 10 centimeters of mulch in 2016. The biointensive, or the intensive sap sampling protocol with a weed-free strip. And that biointensive program is assessing biweekly again, and then the consultant would provide the farmer with a foliar nutrition program based on that data. And we also have the biointensive program, again, with that 10 centimeters of mulch applied in 2016. So we didn't apply this mulch every year. So we did these treatments on established Skeena block on Gisela 6, and it was a randomized complete block design, and treatments were applied to an entire tree row. So we had a large commercial size way to apply these treatments and take a look at them. Now, between each treatment, we also had a buffer row. So we weren't, hopefully, we weren't drifting too many of these foliar applied AEA nutrients onto the control rows or the standard nutrient rows. So I'm going to talk about our data, and this is mostly from 2018. So we didn't really see any changes in our packout, which is measured as the pounds per acre for our weed-free strips or our mulch, and weed-free strips and mulch will always be the green and yellow graph. And we didn't really see any statistical changes in our packout between the standard nutrient applications and the biointensive sap sampling applications. But you'll notice there is about a 5,000 pound difference in yield here. So it may not be statistical, but eventually that's going to add up for farmers, especially when you consider you're constantly taking these sap samples and sending them to Norway. We also didn't see any major changes in cherry diameter. And cherry diameter, cherries are typically measured as rows in the industry. So I've converted that to millimeters. So that's kind of the sweet spot for marketing your cherries is a 9-row cherry, which is 28.2 millimeters. So all of these cherries would be marketable, and unless you're sending them to China and really getting a premium, growing a larger cherry might not really be that advantageous for you. Fruit firmness is a really important measure, especially if you are shipping those fruit internationally. You want fruit that isn't going to get punctured by other stems and isn't going to be crushed. So important, it's important. And the lowest minimum fruit firmness is 300 grams per millimeter. So here our weed-free strip was much firmer than our mulch trial, our mulch treatment, and also our biointensive was much firmer than our standard treatment. So in summary, after 2 years, mulch and biointensive nutrient management didn't really increase the packout or the fruit size. And the biointensive treatment had greater fruit firmness than the standard mulch. Mulching reduced firmness, which could be really important if you do have an international market. Now to talk a little bit about our soil. We did see that there was an increase in organic matter when we applied mulch. And our soils in the Dalles typically have about 2.5% organic matter, which is a pretty reasonable amount of organic matter for the Pacific Northwest. So we're kind of blessed in that way. So we didn't really see any increases with our standard nutrient treatment versus our biointensive nutrient treatment, but I really didn't expect that because we weren't applying any organic matter here. For cation exchange capacity, we didn't see any increases or any changes in our cation exchange capacity, which I typically expect to see when we're applying mulch. As for active carbon, which is a measure of the carbon that's available for microbes to do these important nutrient transformations and provide energy to the plants, and we didn't see anything with our standard or our biointensive nutrient treatments, but we did see that mulch increased the available active carbon in our soil compared to the weed-free strip. This is something that I expected to see when we do add mulch. You're adding a lot of organic matter and making carbon more available. Water infiltration. This is important, especially in arid climates. So we want greater water infiltration. So this is measured in seconds. So if you have a lower number is actually better in this instance, because it means the water is infiltrating into your soil faster. In our weed-free strip, water took about 120 seconds to enter completely into the soil profile, whereas when we mulched, it was about half that time. We saw significant changes there, and that's important for growers, again, in these arid climates, where we want to make sure that water is getting to the trees, and it's also not rolling off the ground and eroding as we have all of these hills. However, we didn't see any changes with our standard or biointensive treatment, which I expected. So in summary, biointensive management didn't really improve soil health, which I expected. Mulching increased our organic matter and our active carbon, as well as our water infiltration. Mulching, however, did not increase cation exchange capacity at this time. In conclusion, mulching did not improve packout after 2 years. That isn't to say that it won't improve packout in the future. However, at this point, after 2 years, we don't have any significant data to suggest that mulching is really beneficial to farmers in that aspect. Mulching applications can be used to improve soil health and moisture. However, those improvements in soil moisture are probably what's driving the reductions in firmness. So if you are going to mulch and you're a farmer, you really need to consider changing your irrigation regime. You want to irrigate a little less so that you have firmer fruit. Biointensive management did not increase packout, but it could have really major negative economic effects. If you're losing 5,000 pounds of fruit per acre, that's a potential problem. So at this point, I don't really suggest biointensive nutrient management SAP sampling. I think there's a lot more work that needs to be done before we really understand what numbers we're looking for with SAP sampling, and we also need to get it to a price point that makes it more viable for farmers. However, it did improve our fruit firmness. So if you have a variety, maybe you just have a lot of bings or something that isn't a particularly firm cherry, it might be a way for you to improve your fruit firmness through these foliar applications. However, it would be nice to look at that compared to something like GA and calcium at different timings. In addition, it didn't really improve soil health. Biointensive sampling didn't really improve soil health. We didn't really expect that. And I'm interested in seeing how this project continues into this next year. We just harvested early last week, so I'm waiting to get our packout numbers. And I look forward to your questions. Yes, Greg. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. We have a lot of organic matter in that part of the Pacific Northwest. Exactly. That's why we're not getting any changes in cation exchange capacity. So this was funded by it's a conservation integration grant, and we're actually applying for another 2 years of funding to see if we apply mulch one more time, if we'll see any changes, and we're hoping to make this a 5-year project instead of a 3-year project. You know, but yeah, we have good soil there, and that's the problem. When you have decent soil, it's not, this stuff isn't going to drive any changes, right? I just said decent soil was a problem. Yes?
I wonder, since it seems like the mulch trees end up getting over irrigated from a quality perspective, whether just measuring what the pressure chamber differences in water potential, and whether they, you know, a grower can use that to then tailor their irrigation.
And that's a really good suggestion, and we do look at other ways. There's a lot of people using Neutron probes there just to kind of get a better idea about what's going on. Yes?
So you talk about water infiltration.
Yeah. We are going to do water holding capacity at the end of the study, so we're actually going to take that data this coming August to get a better idea. I know that's a pretty intensive thing to do. Anything else? I'd like to just thank my collaborators. This was actually started by Lynn Long and David Granitstein before I got to OSU, and I'm really happy that they've allowed me to take over this project as they've both retired. And thank you all for listening.